for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. So, for today's woman stories, I'm going to begin with the gist of what a secure attachment, differentiated self, whole three-year-old heart person is. So it's healthy self-worth. You can look up Terry Real to learn about that from a man who can support couples, and you can also look it up Patrick Tiahan, childhood trauma survivor. He's healed, healing, and a good therapist. And in both equations, they share how for people who don't know how to love their self first, there are good therapists that can get them home to their whole self. What I bring to you is when you are home with your whole self, like I have been, thank you, Mom, you do not lose your sleep, your heart, your worth, your anything over whether it's a man that dumps you, or if you're a woman who likes women, that woman or they. So I will say from my subjective experience, obviously, and that's the part of where empowerment. I knew of it already as if I'm empowered, it's because I can speak to you directly and tell you exactly what I think and feel, and being emotional. That's because I did not get shamed or humiliated when I was crying or angry as a child growing up. So we will have trauma if we were suppressed in our basic emotions. So trauma charges are different. We all have the child parts. Okay, so there's a lot of different ways that different people talk about these topics. I'm attachment and trauma informed, and I just try to use the gist of it. And I'm the woo-woo pseudoscience lady because I bring spirituality and human elements together. Human elements are all the great subject matter experts, and I in fact learn from the great 5D academics, but I also have the knowingness of wanting to stay up to date with the 4D academics and any 4D, 3D limited consciousness groups, because they're out there spreading rumors still, some of them, and others limiting consciousness. So I bring it all here, and I'm okay with the pseudoscience because, again, I'm not in a science research lab doing what is called quantitative data and doing all that stuff. Okay, so the academics, they have those forums where they get to chit chat, like the recent one that was amazing that I got to watch. I need to finish it though, but it's on how we're not going to be using the whole inherently good or evil as we move forward, because, you know, really ancient scripture textbooks, I mean, you know, trauma, neuroscience, the academics, the good ones, the ones who don't want to believe in the, you know, updated, they say technology is a demon or something like that. So again, I don't do flat earther stuff, which is why I'm a 5D mystic, which is why I'm okay with the woo-woo pseudoscience. But mysticism, it's not a pretend thing. And it's not magic, although we will feel magical, but we will not feel anointed. And in fact, we will know that we don't read our lovers' minds at all. So we don't go squirrel on people. Squirrel from Cusco land of the Emperor's New Groove. Okay, so an empowered woman does not actually emotionally, mentally, or physically decide to go and do anything to a man in this case. I'm a woman. And obviously, if I'm physically threatened by anyone, I will report them if I want to. It all depends, because sometimes we do know the whole he said, she said. So I remember learning about this, and I do remember individuals having different opinions about it. And what I can tell you is that when you know that you cannot prove intent, as a woman, I will say that I know that, right? I've met young teenager boys, and I was a teenager girl, and now I'm a woman, and I still meet the same as a woman. I had a recent interaction with a man that made a very straightforward statement, and I was not taken in any kind of, oh my God, how dare you, because I, one, am empowered and know exactly how to answer somebody without a charge, because I'm not charged. That's what it means to be a quote-unquote angry Buddhist. But you don't have to be a Buddhist. I'm not. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian. But I know how to use my biologically green light. Thank you, Stephen Porges. I know how to use an integrated brain. It's called an emotionally mature and actual, just amazing. It's amazing. It's not even because of the mystic stuff. I mean, the mystic stuff obviously has, for me, I know my energy body expanded because my light body began to expand, and I didn't say no because I did not get afraid when selflessness, timelessness, effortlessness, and richness came about. But the effortlessness is when you get those moments of fear, because your body is like, where is the person that owns my body? And I know now how to explain that one, and it's really cool, because I still, when my energy body is expanding, because right now we have another peak energy moment as the lunar eclipse arrives, and that new moon actually had me realize where we're at, because it was one of those days. Anyone who has those lovely, not so lovely panic attacks for the energy body expanding, you know what it means when you're basically like, okay, I need to get rid of energy somehow, but I'm too small. Like, I'm 4'9". I have an energy body course that taught me about there's only so much energy your body will be able to hold if you're 4'9" versus 6 feet. And every time you're too much, you're gonna have the opportunity, like your window of welcome for emotions, to expand it, but that still means, like a little rubber band, you're gonna have, you know, the moment where it's rigid, and so you need to keep helping it along, and you don't really, my lovely mystics out there, if you're anyone who is a mystic and you are understanding your energy body, let me know. I need to finish up my course, but I will, but I know I can already support you in different ways. Sleep well, drink water. The eating healthy doesn't need to be exaggerated. Just pay attention. Your body will tell you what's what. Keep your, you know, doctor stuff all great in visit. Just make sure, even if they call you hypochondriac, it's okay. You do your stuff. You know what I mean? Like, this is the part. You don't need to label it. You don't need to organize it. And stop thinking about the astrology too much and the Schumann resonance. Allow your mind to move beyond that. Otherwise, you're going to stay confined to those specific events. So now that you've gotten your own energetic body in the forefront, not to mention it's a 12-month, it's always the same. Okay, so you learn how your body works with the energies, and that's all you need. You pay attention to your body, and you will expand your window of welcome to energy and time. But that's food for thought. You know, again, I'm not a doctor in any way, shape, or form. Please, I'm speaking from my asshole. Okay, let's make sure, disclaimer right now, so that you all can just take ownership of your stuff, because there are too many people who don't. I've had plenty of people, but you told me, yeah, I didn't tell you what to do. I gave you food for thought, suggestions. So if I have to spell it out like I'm talking to some child, I will. Food for thought. You do what's best for your body, and the doctors, the official ones, which is why, again, I'm not a flat earther, the sciences people can help you. You will not be addressed as mystic. Please do not try to talk to anyone who wants to call you woo-woo about your mystic stuff. They will not take you seriously. I know. I'm sorry, because that's not how it should work. But until we have emotional and mental and physical grown-up academics, as well as doctors, we're not going to find those who are smart. Find the ones who think they're smart, and they're only using their left mode. So you will not have a person who will treat you or what you tell them as if there's some importance or validity to it. There's a nice doctor, I love him. He's online and he shares how to handle asshole doctors. Go, if you want, let me know. I'll go find his video. I haven't watched it because I actually, I'll share about it. I have had asshole doctors, yes, but they're not assholes. See, I don't have this thing with assholes because I don't have insecurities. Okay, so when somebody shouts in my face, I'm not offended. I'm used to hearing people shout because I love my Neapolitan heritage. So my family, my mother primarily, but my biological father and my biological grandmother, father, paternal. So Naples, Italy, that's pretty much my entire heritage. My blood, even though I'm also from other places, when I go and look at my history with that one app, we all have that one. Well, some of us do, but I have the app that tells me what my lineage is. I need to find it again. But okay, side note, what I was trying to get to is I'm used to people being passionate. My grandma and grandpa, oh, they would yell all the time, but it's not the yelling like the Americans try to do with commercials. Nope. You can notice the tone. The beauty of our nervous system is it comes through a tone. Okay, so on that note, I don't find yelling scary because there's a difference with the passionate Neapolitans. And they're not yelling because they're angry. They're actually passionately just having, and I get passionate too, so I love to, well, when you can, you need a passionate man. That means you need an emotionally available man to be able and get into that type of passion. That one's fascinating. I'm contemplating that. Remember the rainbow man? Yeah, the rainbow. So there are rainbow men. And right now, my regular listeners know what I'm talking about. So when you meet a divine masculine who has their own divine feminine and they're mystic, that's a rainbow man. And are they amazing? Oh, their potential. Yes. And that's because their inner child is a healthy, self-worth inner child. So they're not with a shame defectiveness button thinking I need to follow the herd master. They're their own, and they're okay with being, you know, the southpaw, like the whole Rocky, where he's subjected to, you're a bum. So when a person stands up for themselves, even though Others don't, and they are okay with being somebody from a pack that doesn't actually appreciate them, but they know that they're just as worthy as any other pack member. Yeah, now that's a man who will stand up and not tell other men to cower down. Yeah, so when I see instead other men who want to have men cower down, I know I'm dealing with a heartbroken 3-year-old who has a 1-year-old that needs to prove their validity, otherwise the pack's going to cut them out. And our ancestors, they would get thrown to the lions and bears and tigers, or if they were sad in fetal positions, they would also be killed by lions and bears. No aliens needed. So the bodies of those human beings, men and women, that like to lead with the ancient silverbacks, that's why they're actually not going to really move a lot of places, because they got Peter Pan's. They're easily tricked by the 7 to 14 of the Michael Stone evil scale, the charming ones. Yeah. Yep. I see them online. Very interesting. So yeah, when you meet 3D, 4D, you'll know. Okay. So on that note, back to Storyland, as I was trying to get to share a very good story with you all, and a couple, if that, not just one. So being a woman and having self-empowered mannerisms leads you to know how to handle when you meet low self-esteem, men, women, days, all of it. And it's basically by being a pacha. You don't lecture. You don't get nasty. Thank you, Mom. You learn how to accept love and respect and speak with your mouth and not use a tone. And so because passion is not something scary, but something beautiful and not the pretend type, not the lust, the low energy that do what is chasing a feeling. So when you meet a person who has low self-esteem, indirect communication, passive-aggressive, and then they don't know boundaries, and they also don't know their inner child, they're going to be a teenager version of themselves with a child behind the scenes, because those charged parts, they stay with us unless you become your grown-up version, which is why we do personal development and emotional building regulation skills, which is awesome for the people who don't do, I don't want to do it. Okay, so for the people who have difficulty with emotions, there's good therapists. For people who have ease with emotions, there's us. Those of us who are ready to love and rock and roll and to actually build for real relationships. Okay, so 1 + 1 = 2, and that's men, women, but I can only speak as an empowered woman. So as I was saying, an empowered woman doesn't shame, blame, fault, or revenge. We don't start basically attacking a person's character, personality, because they have lied or hidden the truth or given us the silent treatment. If somebody's, you know, doing the whole in and out, so we will spout how we feel. I've done that for sure in our pathway. I can remember instances where I've done it, and I've been able to calm myself. I have always said, you know what, I am so sorry. I was way out of line taking my upset at you, and that's not. I learned how to apologize thanks to those very, very beautifully unavailable, emotionally speaking, men. And I appreciate every single one of those moments because it taught me how to master my mental, emotional, and physical capacity as a human being, which is where those lovely therapists can bring any person if they want. Tarot Reel is great for couples who want a mediator so that they can get eventually intimate and passionate with each other. The ones of us who instead are already ready to be intimate, we don't need the intermediary because we're not going to be with emotionally unavailable people. They're actually not going to accept a healthy self-worth partner. When a person has low self-esteem, and that's any person who's emotionally unavailable, they don't know their own healthy self-worth. Yes, they will not be fond of those of us who are emotionally empowered. Because every time our heart sings, it sings a million and it doesn't actually let go. So that hand is consistently there and they are going to be consistently reminded of how much you unconditionally love them. And the real deal is if somebody is emotionally unavailable, they didn't get treated that way. So they're going to get to see their entire flawed, imperfect self be loved unconditionally. See, I'm lucky again as a Neapolitan daughter because Neapolitans have a saying, every cockroach is beautiful to their mother. So I knew even if I was a cockroach, I'm loved by even if it's just one human being. So ergo, healthy self-worth. And so when When my, remember the story of the teenage boy, for my regular listeners, you remember that. He would tease about my height. And he flirted, though. He liked to flirt. And I remember in one of the instances where he really made it clear, you're short, we won't be together because it's aesthetically unpleasing. In my head, I'm like, that's not what love is. But I'm having fun, and who cares? I'm a teenager. And I kept on, in fact, flirting every now and then. But I knew instinctively, this is not a person who's going to love me because they're not lifting me up. They're actually putting me down, which means you're not my partner at all. No, you're the opposite of what a partner is. And that's for sharing life together. So anybody who wants to share life with another human being, if you have healthy self-worth, you're going to say, I am beautiful with all of my flaws. I look like a cockroach, you're going to make me look like a princess. And not for pretend, for real. I'm not even kidding. Right here is where you have me feel like I'm a star. Now, when it comes to being practical, that's a whole different story. So what do I mean? I mean that the practicality words are, okay, in an effort to get where you want to go, realistically speaking, it's going to take X, Y, Z, D, E, F, G. But see, when you're an empowered woman, you don't need somebody to tell you any of this, which is why, you know, there's those Peter Pans out there. One of them is the Venus goddess lady, that woman. Yeah. And one of her shorts is, women, you need to have men feel needed. They need to be needed. Otherwise, da, da, da. And I'm like, yeah, I don't baby a human being that I would call me, Maria, personally, a man. I'm not babying you, not even a little bit. So if you need to feel needed, yeah, you're not going to get that here because literally I'm not attaching to you. You're not needed. I live in the era 2024. I don't know what era you come from, but I don't need you like that. If you need me to let you open the door, that sounds like you need me to make you my puppy, and I don't think so. Now, if you do it because for you, it means something because you're a man that considers that as something of value, I will know the difference because you will do so as a gentleman. You will not be opening the door because you're a man, because I'm a woman. In fact, you know what I know you're going to do? You're going to open the door for another human being. Not just for me. Now that's a man. And as a woman, I will open the door if I can for a man and a woman. And that is because I will be a person who is a heart body and a value body. I'm not doing it because of some gender stereotype. I'm not doing it because my herd told me to do so and I'm being an obedient, good little boy or little girl, which is the very energy that comes out of a person who is being a very good little boy, little girl by following their herds. Non-differentiated self is what this is called. So I know when I see a Peter Pan with a lost boy, like the Venus goddess of May, and all the women who are like, oh, I'll let him open the door for me. The minute I know I'm with a man who's opening the door for me because I'm a woman is the minute that I know you ain't my catch, that's for sure. You're cute. Oh, yeah, you're cute, but you're not going to be for me because I don't need you. And I know that's going to be a situation like my teenage boyfriend. I'm not a jealous person. I'm solo polyamorous. My regular listeners know this. I'm not a couple-centric individual. I love people equally. I've got twin flames. You're going to share me. You don't like it. I have nothing to say to you except for, okay, I guess we'll see. We'll see when it'll be time because I have no other words to say except there's only one of you. If that's not reassuring you, I don't know how else to, I can't reassure you besides letting you know there's only one of you. The minute a person has healthy self-worth, they will not question what you say because they will know, yeah, there's only one fucking me. You better bet I know that. So I, Maria, know that as a woman. If a man don't know that about himself, I'm not going to reassure this human being because their 0, 1-year-old and 3-year-old is actually still alive within that human being. I'm not going to want to baby you. The entirety of the relationship, babying you means literally I need to make sure you know you're important to me. Do you know how much energy that is for a person who's busy with life because we're busy having fun in life? And not to mention the actual, like Sadhguru says, it's enslavement. There's one of his quotes. Oh, I need to find that one. And he literally talks about how attachment is enslavement. So there's people who need you to ensure that they feel that they're needed and an independent mentally and emotionally. It's not because of smarts, people. This is not what this is. When you are physically your own safe haven, which is what I am. Thank you, Mom. I know how to regulate my nervous system during my panic attacks. I know how to handle anxiety. I know how to handle, these to me are no big deal. I'm not in any kind of dire situation, but they happen. These things happen and you take care of it. And that's where that creates a ventral vagal toning exercises. So what? I got lucky. I'm not going to say I want more of those panic attacks. No, not going to say I'm lucky or unlucky, but I'm going to say I didn't have the, oh my God, I have to learn how to expand my window of welcome, which is actually something that we don't say. The only ones are doing that. It's more of, I don't want to put up with it. Well, you don't really have an option. I mean, you do go to good therapists, see if they have anything to help you, but if your body does what it does and you understand that it's a process, you know, you whining about it on YouTube ain't going to change that. And in fact, you just doubled down on what you're going through because you didn't use your mind to do something helpful for yourself. You just did the whining thing, which means you're whining about it, you're upset about it, and that's doubling down. So the human suffering love narrative, they love their teenager attitude is seriously no longer teenager one, and you see it all over the place, and it's like, okay, well, there's solutions, but hey, like Albert Einstein says, let's stay away from the ones who present the problems all the time. Those are the negative people. So when I see a negative person, I will pat them on the back. If I'm near them, I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I won't say anything because I've tried to help people with the panic attacks. They literally get pissy because you give them a way to work on their window of tolerance. No, I can't do it. Well, no, you can. Doesn't make it comfortable. You just can do it. I do it. But okay, again, let's move on, shall we? Okay, so when you have empowered women, you won't be needed, men. That doesn't mean we don't love you, but if your ego self is a one-year-old who needs to be needed, well, then you want to work on that one first because, oh, wait, you know what? I'm so sorry. You can find those individuals who want to securely attach men. But I'm going to share with you the same suggestion I share with my women friends. Make sure to be straightforward on your app and make sure you include therapy. Because when you get a woman who has low self-esteem, yes, as I was saying, they will not do the, you know what, I'm so sorry. I was so out of line when I got really upset. Even if, like I said, I don't do the shame, blame, fault. I don't say you made me get upset. I think I've learned if I ever use those words, people corrected me as I got older and I learned to hear them. In fact, I have a perfect story for this one. One of my man friends, he and I were having a conversation with a group of people and I got distracted and I said, you made me get, or I said something about, I got distracted, you made me, or a word about making, and he said, I didn't make you, you got distracted on your own. And I said, you know what, I'm so sorry, you're right, you made me, I got sidetracked, I'm not following, and I corrected myself. So that's what a mature, emotionally speaking, woman will do, will correct themselves, because you're not, in fact, to be blamed for any of my thoughts or emotional stuff, not even a little bit. I will, in fact, take ownership. Called emotional accountability. I will address it and I will recalibrate accordingly. And this is what works all the time, not just sometimes. So when you meet bitter people in life, it's because they will have had disappointments in their love life, typically. So we're going to switch up gears and talk about whether it's a friend, a family member, a lover, whoever it is, whatever it is that's going on, okay? When people find their ideal fairy tale come true and you have a bunch of people that are just like ready for it to go and get ruined, right? Okay, so that legit happens to people. Here's what happens when people like to take ownership about their life and so they're not afraid of being wrong. Okay, so princess and prince, they get into a beautiful, perfect love, all of it, everything of any type of relationship, right? We like that it's intellectually, emotionally, and physically stimulating. So I'm using PG wording, but we get it, okay? So we have full on 100% plus intimacy. You name it, raw, two explosion of energies, like amazing. Two rainbows, you got it. So two rainbows, and we got masculine and feminine, and they are both with their own masculine, feminine divines. Yes, okay. And you have a bitter, bitter man and a bitter, bitter woman. And so we'll just use both and bitter they. And the minute that you're all excited about your new adventure and you share, there's, you know what? I bet you. So here's the, here, drum roll. I bet you that all you really are is a sex object for this person. That's all. They're having fun. Then they're going to come out and they're going to leave you. And the sex object thing, remember, my lovely listeners, if you acquiesce, so you say yes to it, none of us are objects. Okay, let's take ownership. If I say yes to fucking you, I'm not an object. I have said yes, that means I'm participant. So the going later on, once you decide I'm not the one, and whining about it and saying something, I was only a sex object, we don't do that. But I can equate what other people will share, because again, I'm a woman, so men say you're just a sex object. So, okay, they mean to say they want a one-night thing or a two-night thing, a three-month thing, whatever it is. But it's, they're chasing a feeling, it's called lust, and then they're done with you. Okay, so fair and square, I've heard it enough times and I've seen it enough times to where I know that actually, you know, and I've seen also how even adult men, the whole he said, she said, still persists. So that's one that you're never going to get out of, ladies. I mean, the law is the only thing we can look to help us. And that is where we already know what goes on. So I made peace with the he said, she said when I was a teenager because of teenage boys spreading false rumors about girls. And something that I find very, very disrespectful, humanly speaking. But again, the men tell me that men are dicks, and there you go. They keep on justifying certain types of cliche stereotypes and sentences. As long as we have men, oh, and women, I'm so sorry, the women too. Yes, like the one lovely, again, goddess of Venus of Ladyland, who says, women, if he says he just wants to fuck you, remember, don't think of wedding bells, and they are all giggling, and I'm like, really, let me shake the hand of a man who is that honest, because I have yet, and I would love to meet them, to say, no, not interested, I am polyamorous, but not in a way that wants to fuck everything that runs around, no, actually, not even close, but I at least appreciate that you have actual balls, because you have actual balls to be able and say the truth versus hide behind the cliche stereotype of we have dicks and no brains, and consider that I should actually consider that a truth. No, I consider that a cop-out to actually growing some emotional balls is what I, Maria over here, and the therapist helped me to know what I'm talking about. So when I think of a person who's Cusco, man, women, days, I don't take any of what they say as anything. They got a Peter Pan somewhere, like a lady who's a goddess of Venus, who's perpetuating stereotypes, which dumb down human beings to the umph degree. And it's not even dumb because they don't have a brain that can regurgitate. No, it's because they don't have their right mode axis, because they chose not to take, what is it? Ah, that's right, emotional ownership of all the depths of themselves. Okay, so that means what? Fear. Oh yeah, wait, low self-esteem. So these are very serious topics. I'm trying to help people understand. That's right, the shame cycle. Does anybody remember what's involved there? No, I'm attachment trauma informed, if I didn't already say that. Inner critic, outer critic. Then let me think. Oh yeah, fucking, drugging, alcoholing, fooding, and wait a minute. It's not the activities in and of themselves. It's how addicted are you to doing it on repeat to de-stress? And how smart are you to become aware of yourself? Now, I'm going to say this. The people who have attachment traumatization, I know I'm at least a handful, if not a dozen of them. And nope, only about two or three have actual abuse, neglect, and something that would require a big buttload of, like, and I have told all three of these individuals, all of them, every single bit of information that I can possibly imagine to make them aware of what attachment traumatization is. You know what they answer me every time? No, no, I'm anointed. I am in synchronicity with, and I know. So they, like Patrick Tiahan, childhood trauma survivor, healed in healing, presents to me a person who has childhood trauma will continue to be able and make a toxic relationship work because they're trying to save their own home, like their inner child. Their magical thinking is literally continuing to date beneath themselves and be treated like shit because they're still trying to save their own self at home. Their unfinished business is a little turnaround and wheel around that they don't want to see. No, they can't physically see. And literally, this is why I understand these people, because I've done everything in my power to say, you know, here's some stuff that you could use to learn about what trauma bonding is. Hey, how about here, codependency? I have another way to share with you. Here's another website. You could go here. And none of these human beings have literally broken up from their toxic relationships or their storytelling toxic pattern. So I am here to inspire human potential, not keep you dumb. Again, I am very much into being a 5D mystic here, Enlightenment Soul Age Group, not the other Soul Age Group. So if you want to tap into more of who you are, it's first go home to your whole three-year-old heart. Once you become kind, loving, compassionate, and all the things that a grown, emotionally mature person can, then you can start saying the word to me, man and woman, and they, as a grown-up, means you know how to use your prefrontal cortex. Otherwise, you're half a brain. And your teenager is leading the house, and the teenager has a pack that they follow, and that pack doesn't begin with your teenager years. It begins at home. So trauma is relational. Intimacy is the core. As Tara Real points out, you're going to hold yourself the way you were held, and then you're going to expect others to hold you the same way. So you're going to perpetuate what is karma, but it's also your unfinished business. Thank you, Tara Real. And that means you're going to play out what is a low self-esteem, indirect communication, codependent type behavior with your partner and or partners until you perhaps look at each other and say, hey, you know what? Love is supposed to be, no, it can be easy. It doesn't have to be this. Let's go to good therapy. I read some shit over there and it's really nice. We can have intimate, actual conversations. You know, people go to therapists as couples and they don't want to be vulnerable in the therapist seat. Every time my mind hears this, I'm like, what? So they chose to get married. They chose to be whether monoamory or polyamory, and they're still not wanting to cry in front of each other. You've got to be fucking kidding me, right? These are men and women in days, right? And then I get the evolutionary psychologist and the anthropologist psychologist who say, yes, Maria, and this is in one of my courses, because you should know that when our ancestors were one with the animals, if you were crying on the fetal position and one, you're somewhere just crying, you'd be eaten. Lions, bears, tigers, Oh, and if you got cut out of the herd because you were worthless, you were weaker, the weaker one, again, death. And animals are really scary to this day. I don't want to be in a forest. No, send me to the ocean because I can stay near the beach. Don't send me to the fucking forest. I'm going to not win that battle with a bear. I know who I am not going to win against. Also, men. Yes, I'm 4'9". So long story short, physical safety, number one. All of our relationships, they're really a bonus for the ones of us who have, again, healthy self-worth. That's because we don't have low self-esteem. So as a teenager, I did learn that all people didn't like confidence. And I was really wondering about that because I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, you all are saying you're confident, so you're just pretending and you don't want to grow and actually become confident. And then I grew up in shame cycle, inner critic, outer critic, sob stories, human suffering, and then the fucking, the drinking, the drugging, and all of the other stuff. Oh, we're just going to do what's cool. And there's your grown-ups, people. I'm 44. I got plenty of grown-ups around. Don't, again, I try. They roll their eyes when I share with them attachment and trauma information. Oh, they also discount it, discredit it, minimize it, continue to say, I don't believe in it, and then they don't take courses. They actively don't take any of the courses that I take, and they consistently don't want to move into the whole flat earther group. So it's very fascinating when you see Peter Pans online that are continuing to perpetuate stereotypes, and that's why we get to create new stories, 5D Collective. That's right. So taking personal development seriously, check. Being yourself seriously, check. And healing trauma, check. All the people who are healing it seriously, check. They're going to come on over here and be with Pach because they're with heart. So we have our left and right mode. You put your left foot in, you put your right foot in, and we shake it all about. So we have fun. And on that note, as I want to conclude with a story that is of bitter men and bitter women who wish upon prince and princesses who have their fairy tale come true. No, they don't wish upon. They say you're a mere object of somebody's desire, and once they're done with you, they're going to throw you out. And lo and behold, you make a bet. I make a bet. I make many bets. But some bets, it's because of being in a place of considering myself. That I know. Let me think. No, not. It's because I believe in love. Okay? So when you believe in love, you're not choosing to be with people as if they're objects. Like I said, I don't need a man. A man don't need me. All we need is air, water, and food. Okay? So if I make a bet because I love someone, it's because I know what I'm getting myself into. So I make a bet because I know I'll make it last forever. Because that's what a Pacha handshake does. And I also know that somebody who's actually making a bet against it, they're just teasing in the first place. But they can also be in a bad mood because they've had their heartbreak, da-da-da-da. Okay, so what happens when you lose the bet and you are simply an object of desire that gets thrown into the trash, basically? Or we could put it this way again. Emotionally unavailable people, they don't do things on purpose. No, they just come in and out of people's lives without considering any of another person's feelings, because that's the point. They're emotionally unavailable, so they don't have access to the right mode. They don't know what they're doing. They actively don't know because they don't care. Their amygdala is not alerted to your emotional or mental needs. They actually don't have space for you in their brain or their body, okay? So, long story short, who is outward does not turn into a bitter person. And whenever I've had these things take place, in one occasion, I literally said, I want to make it known that I lost the bet. I want my people that love me so much to hear, I lost the bet, I owe you money, you were right, I'm an object of desire. But also I want you to know that I realize that your bet means that you don't want your friend and your friends in general to be happy. Does that make you happy? Are you happy to be a person like that? Because seriously, I don't know why we're even friends if this is how you feel. You would want your friends to be unhappy. So the part about wanting to share things, it's because it's one, if I lose a bet and I'm wrong, I like to say, I'm wrong, I'm so sorry. Like when we get into our emotional plane, okay, so this is the part. Whenever I've gotten way too emotional about something, and emotionally unavailable people will say, hey, this is not my shit. What do you want from me? They're right. It's not their shit. And so again, when a grown-up knows that a person is right, we'll say, you know, I'm so sorry. You are correct. My mannerisms, my tone, everything that I spit out of my mouth as an emotional person, and I've done it more than once, I will have apologized for those moments. Unlike other women, who in fact they don't, they go about consistently thinking they're correct, I do not. I do not feel correct if I'm being emotionally invasive in your space. I feel that you're making me aware that it's too much for you, and that it's fair and square that I actually take ownership of that, because it is not your nervous system. It is my nervous system. Thank you, Mom. So knowing how to use my nervous system is not because of a special gift, although being a mystic is really awesome. I love it. I really do. And we're going to have some fun stories on that one as we keep moving forward. But the part about the embodied brain and the nervous system for this episode is where I take ownership of my emotions, because it's only fair and square. They're my heart. They're my thoughts. It's my life. It's not another person's responsibility. So here's where, for the solo polyamory community, it's a very straightforward equation, which is where it's amazing to be able and be your safe haven, and to be able and do this thanks to people that have to, hey, what do you want from me with your emotional stuff? It's your shit. And with your own secure base, because you have a brain that thinks, you're like, you know what? I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel shamed, because that's the part of where it's okay to be too sensitive or too whatever to an empowered woman here, okay? So I wasn't shamed in any of those emotions that I felt as a child growing up. I'm not angry. Oh, you got too sad. Oh, you got too, whatever it is, it's too. It's more like, okay, well, yeah, that's who I am. My name's Maria. Don't you know I'm a sensitive human being? You know, and because I'm tiny, in my opinion, I think that's why people give me a little bit more of a quote unquote break, meaning they expect to see me crumbling down on the floor crying, which is fair and square. I mean, again, I haven't seen myself crumbling down and crying. Maybe when I was a teenager. Yes, the teenager. But that was really funny when those moments happened. So what I'm trying to get at is when people have made it my awareness that they're not open to being a safe haven for me, it's only fair and square that they don't have to be that person. And this is why we don't have sagas or resentment or any of that other shit that the 4D keeps talking about with their oversoul. Because a 5D person is a person who has a secure attachment body. And they're like, okay, wait a minute, I got way too emotional here. And I'm not a teenager anymore, and I'm not a three-year-old, and I'm a grown woman who can handle my own nervous system. Like, what's the deal, people? So when I've shared this with other women, not in the same words, they seem to then go and don't know. No, they ruined my fairy tale. They lied to me. They're a disgusting human being who used me for sex. And it's like, okay, again, if you said yes to that and then you began a month, 2 months, 3 months, it's not enough time for people to actually get to know each other. But some people don't want to give you time to get to know each other. They don't want you as a partner. And that's also what you get to accept. And when it's happening, you're not being like, oh, I'm so unworthy. I'm unworthy. They don't want me because I'm unworthy. Again, that's pity party language for those who don't have. For those of us who have self-empowerment, we do, okay, you don't like it. That's all. That's all this is you're not happy about what takes place. Because if you like someone and they don't like you, it's the same like when you're a three-year-old, a four-year-old, or five-year-old. When I talk about the kids that wouldn't play with me, I still got talked to and said, it's okay, we're all different. So I know how not to pout about being Maria. This is essentially what it is. Use your name, my lovely listeners, new ones and regular ones. Use your name and let's do this. Put your hand on your heart. Again, I'm a woman, but I'm a person first of all. And you have a one-year-old and you have a two-year-old and a three-year-old up all the way to your teenage years. And this is not made up shit. This is serious, not made up shit, okay? So your charge states, for those of us who have a secure attachment lifestyle, for us it's easy to say, I have a whole self, because you have a whole self and you have those charge states. Now you can learn to be a grown-up if you want and be a pacha. And you can learn how to handle the emotions that arise with your emotional accountability, maturity, your brain. You have the possibility to say, I want to do personal development. Yeah, not, I don't want to do it. I want life now. Okay, so just think about that one. And two, when you get the men that are available, okay, women, I'm just saying the actual men, not the ones who don't want to be here, okay? No, put those ones all to the side because they can go with the 4D, 3D people. I'm not even joking right now. Leave anyone who's not emotionally available. They're going to let themselves be seen. They're going to scurry off and run away, or no, you know what they're going to do? They're not going to run. They're not going anywhere. They're literally going to not have time for you, for your emotions, for you're going to be put to the side. This is something that actually consistently has been shown to me by people who are emotionally unavailable, men, women, and theys. Again, I don't personally know theys, but any human being who does not get to be their inner child, does not open their heart to say, I want love. They are not open-hearted because their three-year-old is ashamed, defective, and their one-year-old is freaking out. So they are literally looking for that unfinished business from home. And they'll find it, which won't be you if you're doing emotional availability with yourself. You're going to be a healthy, self-worth person the minute you say, I have emotions. I can take and say, I'm so sorry. You are very right. I learned how to say I'm sorry when someone actually in any way, shape or form comes at me with the fact that I have these emotions that are too much. So you say you're sorry. You say thank you. You share love. You share moments. We have fun. We'll be back with more. In the meantime, sending you all my love. Have a great day.